This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, we've got a special interview with you for you today. We're joined by author, Everest summiter, and former United States Navy air rescue swimmer, Brian Dickinson. Brian, how's it going?
Doing great.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's an honor. It's an honor to have you. Brian, you have recently written a new book. The title of the book is called Blind Descent. And the book is actually like a memoir to the events that happened when on your summit, your Everest summit. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the book and what the writing process was like for you.
Yeah, well, as far as the writing process, this is my first book, first real book, so it was definitely unique, you know, working with publisher Tyndale House Publishing. So yeah, you don't really write a book, you rewrite a book. So the editor basically kick it back to you and, you know, expand and have, you know, show what you were feeling and smelling and all your senses throughout the process. So it was interesting. It was pretty cool, actually, just to experience that, and, you know, gives you a different perspective of reading books and what people go through to get one published. For me, it was my Everest experience, so it's pretty easy from a data standpoint because it's a memoir and it's real life. You know, definitely unlocking a lot of my past as far as my time in the military and just growing up and everything that led up to climbing Everest. But the book itself is about my experience in 2011, where I actually ended up soloing Mount Everest, the only person on top, on May 15th, 2011. And during the descent, pretty much a few feet into it, you know, after taking some pictures and making a radio call, I went completely snowblind and basically had to get down the mountain from the summit completely blind and alone. And, you know, it should have taken about 3 hours to get down to high camp, which is still in the death zone at 26,000 feet, ended up taking me 7 hours. So just hand over hand, using my senses, you know, just made it down and, you know, just very blessed to have made it and to have survived. And, you know, my eyesight didn't come back for about a month and a half. And,
oh, gosh.
You know, still had to get down the mountain and just a really, really difficult situation. But, you know, it's just a blessing, again, just to have made it down and survived and be able to tell my story.
Absolutely. And, you know, just climbing Mount Everest is, I mean, it's a goal for a lot of people, and but it's not something that everybody does. And I was just wondering, when did you know that climbing Mount Everest was something that you wanted to do? And when did you start to kind of put the ball into motion to start in achieving your goal?
Yeah. Mount Everest, like growing up, it wasn't, you know, growing up in the 80s, you know, not that many people were attempting Everest, and it definitely wasn't in the media. And again, we didn't have the media that we had today with, you know, computers and social networking and everything. So it wasn't really a goal. I mean, I definitely grew up adventurous in Southern Oregon and was climbing mountains, but definitely not to the extent of, you know, something like Everest. But, you know, after high school, I went in the military and was jumping out of helicopters for a living. So again, just a kind of a, probably wired a little bit differently than most. And my wife and I moved up to the Seattle area in 2001. And at that point, just living in the Cascade Range, you know, I started climbing Mount Rainier and a lot of the peaks in my backyard. And then I decided I was going to climb the highest peaks on the seven continents, and Everest obviously being the highest peak in the world, but in Asia. And that goal, I came up with that in 2008, and then in 2011, actually, climbed Mount Everest.
Oh, wow. So it's been quite the journey for you. you spoke about, you know, losing your blindness, or losing your eyesight, I'm sorry. And in fact, You know, you said it took you about a month and a half to regain your sight. Tell us just a little bit about your faith. You know, I know that we all have storms in life, and, you know, there are various things that we have to weather, but I imagine that must have been just a really tumultuous time for you, just having to deal with the lack of eyesight. Tell us a little bit about your faith and how you think your faith helped you through that time.
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, it's the reason I'm here today. So the whole time that I was climbing alone up at the top there, I mean, I never felt alone. It's like if you're in the room with me, I close my eyes, I know you're there. I just had this presence with me the whole time. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I have been for many years, and my wife is, you know, a Christian counselor at our church, so my faith is very strong, and we really instill it in our children. But up there on the mountain, I mean, it was the most tangible experience that I had ever experienced. Just coming down, having that presence with me, and just really my faith and focus got me down. At one point, after about 33 hours, I calculated that I had been awake and climbing. I ran out of oxygen up there, basically halfway down from the summit to high camp. And at that moment, I dropped to my knees and just prayed, just gave it to God, just said, I cannot do this alone. You know, please help. Just a simple prayer. And at that very moment, I felt this energy go through my body. I was lifted to my feet. A oxygen bottle that had previously failed started working. And, you know, my touch, feel like, put my regulator on and, you know, got a positive flow and just start breathing that air. And without overthinking it, just got down to safety, and where my one of my Sherpa, Pasong, met me at the high camp. And from there, pretty much slept for 15 hours and, you know, it took 2 more days to get down to base camp from there because it's a long ways to get up to the summit of Everest. But yeah, the whole time just really came down to faith and focus, just never giving up. You know, dying was not an option.
Amen. That's powerful. I mean, just the power of prayer. I mean, you hear about it all the time, but I guess until you're kind of thrust into certain situations, you oftentimes don't know just how powerful it is. But just hearing your story and reading stories in the scripture, I mean, it's just, God is just amazing, and I mean, He really, really can get you through some very arduous times.
Well, yeah, it's interesting that you say the power of prayer, because when I got back, you know, weeks after I got back, people were reaching out to me and just saying they were woke up in the middle of the night and didn't know why, but they felt the need to lift me up, to pray, to keep me moving. And it was that, you know, when I did all of the math, it was the exact same moment that, you know, I was struggling getting down, and I needed those prayers.
Amen.
Very, very powerful moment.
Gosh, that's amazing. I mean, there's a scripture, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it says in when two or more are gathered together and they pray, you know, it's like, you know, God hears prayers, but it's almost like it's like it works quicker when there's, you know, more than one person praying, you know, for a situation or a person. And I mean, just hearing your testimony is, I mean, it's just an affirmation that, you know, prayer really does work.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, before, you know, you became an author, and before you were a summiter, you were actually in the United States Navy as an air rescue swimmer. And air rescue swimmer is an amazing job. It's, you know, it's under the special operations umbrella. And I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about it and your time there. I know you may not be able to tell us everything, but just give us an idea of, you know, what the job is and some things that you may have done.
Yeah, it's a great job, and just it's one of those jobs that, you know, the rest of your life you're gonna utilize lessons and experiences that you get. It's a really tough training. You know, it's like I said, it's part of special operations. my job essentially was jumping out of helicopters to rescue downed pilots or, you know, whatever the situation. We could have a major airliner that went down and, you know, just going out doing the search and rescue. And I also did, you know, as a part of that, combat search and rescue, so overland SAR, which is search and rescue. But the training itself, I mean, honestly, every day they're just basically trying to drown you. I mean, it's, the whole point is to not panic and just to really know the technique and to stay calm, assess the situation. And a lot of this came true on the summit of Everest. You know, as soon as I realized I was blind in the situation, it really came down to that, just not panicking and just realizing one foot in front of the other, I had to get down. And in the military, you know, I did a couple tours over in the Gulf. I was in from 93 to 99, and just a really, really good experience. You know, some of the training besides just the rescue swimmer was SEER school, which is basically POW camp training, where you're living off the land, and then, of course, the interrogation training, where you're captured and abused a little bit, trying to get information out of you. And then just land and water survival. I mean, a lot of that, you know, is really just kind of tailored me into the person that I am. And, you know, I think it's probably the foundation of why I attempted Everest and these other peaks.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like an amazing career. I've looked at the job and did some a little bit of research on it, and I saw that you know, it's a tough job, and I mean it has an attrition rate almost the same effect as like the Navy SEALs, and I know that it takes a special person to do the job that you did. I was wondering, for a person that, you know, is considering a career in the Navy as an air rescue swimmer, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I mean, it's not for everyone, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't go after it. I think a lot of times in life, most, you know, what I've experienced is most people really don't know their limits and what they're capable of. Training like that is going to, like you said, high attrition rate. It's going to push people to see if they're, you know, they're going to panic out in the middle of the ocean, and when active survivors that just ejected out of an aircraft are trying to take them down because they are panicking. But as far as that or climbing or whatever that you do in life, it really comes down to one step at a time. You know, when you look at something holistically, like becoming a rescue swimmer or a Navy SEAL or climbing Everest, it can be overwhelming. And I think a lot of things apply, you know, in that category, because you can overwhelm yourself, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't go after it. You break things down into small chunks one day at a time, and you get through it, and you have, you know, your little rewards, and you got to celebrate those rewards making it through the day. And then the next day is tougher, but you're building on each day until at some point, you know, the letdown of you've succeeded. No, what's next?
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes.
Absolutely, yes, sir. I think that's some great advice. I was wondering, Brian, for somebody, I guess for our listening audience, if you could accredit your success to one person, who would it be and why? I know it might be hard to just to say, you know, this one person has helped me more than somebody else, but is there somebody that stands out to you that's just really, really helped you along the way?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is the overarching, which is the obvious answer, but besides Jesus being my major influence in life, I chalk it up to my grandfather, who, just growing up, he was just a really positive influence for me. And actually, halfway through rescue summer school, he actually shot himself when he found out he had cancer. He had just lost his wife, and there's a lot that goes into that, but it was just a really tough time for me. He didn't end up dying from that, but I took emergency leave and went and visited him in the hospital, and it was just amazing to see that, you know, the strongest guy I know just to be in that situation, and just kind of shows you, you know, that everyone has imperfections in life, and just a kind of a reality check. But the last thing he ever told me, you know, was, Brian, you know, you got to do what you got to do, because I was telling them how hard the school was. He just said, you got to do what you got to do and be the best at you, you know, at it. Be the best that you can be at it. And those words have just always, you know, really, really held true. And, you know, that was the last thing they ever said to me. And I went back, and, you know, it wasn't about the person next to me. It was about me and how good I could be. And if it wasn't good enough, at least I gave it my all. And that's applied in mountains. You know, when I've been up the, you know, close to the summit of certain mountains, and, you know, everything within my control is there, but maybe the weather or something was pushing me back, and I had to make decisions to pull out and not reach that summit. You know, in the end, it doesn't really matter, because I did everything I could do to get there. That's really all we can do in life.
Absolutely. That, I think that's some really good advice. And, you know, I think it sounds like your grandfather taught you a lot about resilience. And I think that's an important characteristic to have in life. And it's something that everybody can learn from and to try to adapt into their own lives, because none of us know what cards will be dealt in life. But I think if you have resilience and faith in God, like you were saying earlier, it helps to weather the storms of life. Brian, out of all of your adventures and summits that you've done, I mean, you've done a lot. You were an air rescue swimmer, and, you know, you've climbed Mount Everest, and you've done so much. But out of all of your adventures, which one would you say is your favorite, and why?
All the continents, climbed on the highest peaks of each one, and they're all so unique. You know, down in Antarctica, you know, it's like being on the moon, just so pristine, and everyone down there is there for a purpose. You don't just show up to Antarctica. You know, and when I summited down there, it was 70 below zero, so it was a little chilly, but it was just an amazing experience. But along all these climbs, I always try to visit orphanages and, you know, deliver toys, and that really holds a strong memory for me, you know, just handing kids that really have nothing, you know, in Nepal or Africa or Chile or wherever. And I was able to bring my whole family, I have a wife and two young children, down to Argentina when I climbed down there, and, you know, they got to hand out toys to the kids there. So that was just a really special moment. And then the following year, all four of us climbed the highest peak in Australia. But I mean, that, you know, I've soloed a lot of mountains around the world, but when I have my whole family on top of the highest peak, I'm gonna go ahead and say that's my favorite.
Absolutely. There's nothing like family.
Right.
Yes, sir. That's awesome. I took a look at your website last night, and I saw that people that are interested in your book or interested in your public speaking engagements, they can actually donate to the Nepal Relief. And I saw that, and I thought that was amazing, because you know, the devastation that happened there is just is uncanny, and they need help. And I saw that, and I really, really liked that, and I think that's commendable.
Yeah, I've linked on their world vision, just because Nepal is, you know, notorious for being more of a corrupt government, so you have to really be careful of who you give money to, but it shouldn't stop you from giving money to the right resource. You know, they're really going to help rebuild over there.
Just absolutely.
Lives were wrecked, you know, this year, you know, death, as well as just, you know, their places just completely destroyed, and most people don't realize they're continuing to have earthquake, you know, every other day right now, major earthquakes. Not really making the press. I mean, they're really in shambles, and just, I have lots of friends over there in the orphanage that I visited and everything, so I stay in contact. I'm really trying to help as much as I can, you know, from a distance.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Brian, a lot of questions, but I did want to ask just a few more questions. I was wondering, for our listening audience, where can they find out more about you and keep abreast of what you're doing, and what new things are on the horizon for you?
Yeah, Yeah, well, my website, briandickinson.net, is probably the best resource. You know, I'm all over social media. I have a few followers on Twitter and whatnot, Instagram. So I try to, I put daily updates as far as the different adventures that I'm on out there. And as far as my next adventure, I've had some people contacting me for some pretty unique things that are outside of what I've done, but I'm not really talking about that yet. I don't know if I'm going to commit to it or not. It's a time commitment. So stay tuned on that. But there's so many mountains out there in the world, and my kids are getting older now. So my wife and daughter are going to Swaziland on a mission in less than a month. So that's amazing. You know, going to be an amazing experience and bonding time for them. But while they're gone, my son Jordan and I, I got him his first ice axe, and we're going to go do some mild climbing here in the Cascades. So not Everest, but, you know, to him it is, and it'll be a fun experience, and we'll just see where that goes. It's something that he enjoys doing, and maybe we'll step it up a little bit. If not, then we'll just we'll keep it mild.
Absolutely. And there's nothing like father and son bonding time. I mean, yeah, it's definitely not Everest, but, I mean, the Cascades are beautiful, and, I mean, it's going to be an amazing time. And also, you were talking about Swaziland. Swaziland I actually had a friend that went to Swaziland, and that part of Africa needs a lot of work. There's a lot of people that are affected by the HIV and AIDS epidemic and some other things. And, I mean, it's going to be a great, great mission trip for them. So,
yeah, they're excited.
Awesome. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us on today's show. I'd like to open the floor to if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
I think just kind of, full circle as far as, living an adventurous life. I think it's easy to just get stuck into the clutter of just, our society and societal values. And I think it's really important to take a step back and evaluate, are you living the life you dreamed of living? And if you are, awesome. Continue and help motivate others. If not, if there's room for improvement, which I think most of us fall into that, figure out what it is. Think about when you were a kid, what excited you, and then how you can integrate some of that, into a more adventurous life. We live once. We might as well enjoy it and have no regrets.
I think that's some excellent advice. That's some advice that I can take, and many people that are listening can take as well. I think that's great, Brian. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Guys, if you're listening to us, to this interview on our website, check us out on your mobile phone or your mobile device. Just download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available in the iTunes Store as well as the Google Play Store. It's free of charge. And once you download the app, just look for our show name. It's called Redefining the Counterculture, and you can listen to this interview with Brian as well as many, many others. Thank you so much, Brian.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.